Broadcasting from KUCR Studios in UC Riverside, this is the Highlander Newsroom. I'm your host, Crystal Mims, joined today by...
Cameron Young, video editor.
Robert Lees, assistant features editor.
Miles Andrews Duvet, sports editor.
Okay, welcome to the newsroom, the people behind the paper. Thanks for joining me today, you guys. Today we're going to be talking about a few important topics. We're going to be talking about the needle exchange program that may or may not get started here in Riverside. We're also going to be talking about the awareness displays that were on our campus last week. And we're going to be talking about the new letter of recommendation requirement that UC Berkeley is planning to implement this fall for all applicants. All right, so with the needle exchange program, a Riverside resident would like to distribute clean needles to drug addicts and drug users around Riverside. What do you guys think about that? Do you think it's a good idea? Is she being an enabler?
Is it just one person, or is she a part of an organization?
She wants to start a nonprofit, basically, so she'll be having help, but she's just the one who initiated it. But yeah, she's also thinking about having different, possibly having help for them, like as far as therapy and HIV testing and things like that. But the main thing is just the clean needles, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yes, if she's an enabler.
Yeah, because that's what the controversy is.
I mean, she definitely is an enabler, or more so, she's definitely not taking any preventative measures. It's tough for me because it's obviously a really prevalent problem in Riverside, this drug abuse, especially hard drugs, whether it's crystal meth or heroin or the like. And if I don't think supplying clean needles obviously does not prevent that problem. And to me, I think there should be more so preventative measures to help the overall issue than to simply provide more reason to do so. And I don't know, I have an issue with it, but I see her message, and to an extent it is justifiable. I'm like teeter-tottering on it, but yeah.
I'm actually glad that you asked that question, because this is the one I prepared the most for. I honestly I fully support a needle exchange program for a number of reasons. One, there is a cost associated with tax money to take care of drug users and vagrants and stuff on the street. And in DC, they found that there was a higher amount of people that started to go to rehab programs when they started a needle exchange. And Salt Lake City, Utah has found it is actually cheaper to give housing and food to all the homeless residents rather than letting them stay on the street. In an odd way, it seems when society doesn't turn their back on people that need help, they actually seem more likely to recover. And growing up in the Pacific Northwest in the 90s and early 2000s, like, heroin is a bigger problem up there. Maybe they're trying to pay homage to Kurt Cobain and one of his favorite hobbies. But honestly, I think that I don't know if anyone, no one here is a heroin user or any sort of hard drug user, but like, it's hard to put yourself in their place, but I feel like they're going to do it with needles or not, and I think they have a better chance of, you know, maybe coming back and getting clean if they don't contract hepatitis C, which kills you, or HIV, which kills you. Because, I mean, I've known people that have contracted HIV, and it's like there's the pendulum, on the pit in the pendulum from Edgar Allan Poe, right over your head. Because you really see that your days are numbered, and I think that tough love can work in a familial setting, but by saying, like, no, don't give them needles, they're junkies, like, this is human life we're talking about here. And even if we save one life and get one person off the street, it's better, because it's better to have some people that are clean and may eventually, like, come around than to have a bunch of people sharing these terrible diseases. I mean, it's a tough issue, and she is enabling drug use, but I think that this is a case of humanity, and we should support any way we can to, stop the spread of easily preventable diseases.
Yeah, here's what I'll say. I think it was pointed out in one of the articles, because there's two in our paper that talk about the same issue, that it is something that's different, right? It's a different approach to drug use and or drug abuse. And just trying to solve the overall issue of addiction in the past, while it has shown success in varying degrees, clearly it hasn't stopped the overall problem. So I think, to an extent, keeping these, avoiding any further diseases, as you mentioned, can help eventually solve the problem, keep these people at least alive, and then look at the overall issue later. So to that extent, I do definitely see what you're saying.
Yeah, and yeah. I mean, not having a needle exchange hasn't stopped the drug.
Right.
Making something illegal and not helping someone won't help. So if they're going to do it anyway, maybe it's better to keep them alive longer so they have a better chance of coming back. These are human beings.
Yeah, a similar proposal was, like, rejected in the past. So maybe she'll be able to do it this time. Yeah. Oh. So I don't know. It's hard because, like, on one hand, it's like, okay, you're giving these people needles to do drugs. But then on the other hand, it is like, you know, they're probably going to end up doing it anyway. And I mean, hopefully other alternatives she did consider, because she did talk about having, like, maybe therapy or some other things for them. So hopefully that will also help. But I don't know. What has been your experience with, like, I don't know, drugs around, like, not your, like, direct experience with drugs, but I don't know. In one of the articles, someone talked about going to Jack in the Box and, like, seeing, like, three drug addicts, like, right outside and, like...
In fact, in one of our last Our Perspectives, our own Aaron Gretsch talked about an experience with a roommate that was a drug user.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really have a lot of direct experience in Riverside, but, I mean, you do kind of see it, or you at least suspect it. And one thing I'd like to bring up really quickly is, let's look at it like this. There's a move towards socialized medicine, single-payer healthcare in this nation, where tax dollars are going to go to pay for medical treatment. So if we don't do a needle exchange, and say we have 10 people that contract hepatitis C, under a single-payer health plan, they would be getting treatment under our tax dollars. If they don't contract that disease, that is potentially thousands of dollars that are saved as we make our trend towards the being a first world country that actually, like, pays for healthcare for its citizens. So it could save us money in the long run if you're just one of those people that just looks at the fiscal aspect and not the human aspect.
True. All right. Well, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. If it actually, I don't know, goes through, if she's able to do what she wants. But we will see. All right, and also last week on campus, we had the Clothesline Project come by, as well as Sin Silence Packing. Sin Silence Packing is to promote suicide awareness, and the Clothesline Project, in the same vein, was for domestic violence awareness. Did any of you guys see the displays on campus while you're walking around, or?
Yeah, it was in between the bell tower and the hub, and it was like a... I guess, like, a rows, like, four or five rows of T-shirts, and beautifully, like, some of them were, like, beautifully painted.
Yeah, they're really
and
nice.
And a lot of, like, great messages on top of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw both displays. The clothesline was really nice. Like you said, there were a lot of, like, interesting T-shirts, and, like, you can definitely tell that a lot of people put a lot of work into them, like... A lot of them had really nice paintings and things on them. And then there were also people from the Women's Resource Center who put it on around and, like, talked to people if, like, any of them, you know, were triggered by it. Because, like, that one, as well as Sin Silence Packing, I don't know, it's rough. Like, all the backpacks were out, and, like, you could read the different stories of those who committed suicide and, like, things their family said. Or some just had poems on them and, you know, like, brief descriptions. So there were also people around, you know, for people who are also maybe triggered by that.
Yeah.
But, I read a lot of stories. They're really interesting.
Mm-hmm. I think it was really comforting to know that, like, just how open this campus is to these subjects and, like, we're not afraid to discuss these topics to anyone.
Exactly, yeah.
I personally didn't see the displays, but I've seen them in the past. I've been here quite a while on this campus. And I think, as students, we're in a good position with our, like, forum of people to facilitate the change we want to see in the world. So this stuff is very inspiring to see. I personally didn't see this display, but I've certainly seen them in the past, especially the backpacks. That's, like, almost every quarter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, how effective do you think, like, displays like this are on a college campus? I mean, I was surprised. I was really happy to see a lot of people reading the backpacks and things like that because, you know, sometimes you see students, they'll just kind of, like, walk by, things like that.
Yeah. But, I mean, at the very least, it raises awareness, even if you're not intentionally, or even if you're not intentionally standing there to read those stories, which I did not see the display. But it does raise awareness because you know what's going on. So to that effect, it is definitely positive and effective in that sense, and it does give a greater sensitivity to the issue as a whole.
Yeah, definitely. So hopefully we'll be seeing them come back.
You said you've seen it often. Is it a yearly thing, quarterly thing? That thing?
I can't say for sure, but I certainly have seen the backpacks.
Okay.
Maybe they come every year. I feel like that's probably something they do.
I think October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's good. I like that they did that, honestly.
I knew that Sin Silence Packing was happening, but I didn't know about the Clothesline Project till I got out there, but it was going on during a nooner, so we were all out, like, tabling, and I was like, oh, what's going on over here? But yeah, it was really cool reading all the different stories and comments.
Aside from just raising awareness, did they like have any sort of, because you saw both, like any sort of a list of the resources people can contact if they're dealing with these issues?
Yes. So Sin Silence Packing, I know there are a few booths like right next to the bell tower, kind of going down that area. The backpacks were kind of like all over the lawns, but they had like our counseling services out there, Active Minds who put it on. They were out there. Just handing out like brochures and different things. Like if you wanted to go talk to anyone with any of those programs, you could. And they were all like very friendly. They were like, "Oh, do you want to stop by and like talk?" And like, I saw someone that I know from the counseling center, and she was out there. And so like, yeah, they were all really like helpful out there.
Yeah. I'm wondering how much that affects. Like, I mean, I know there's no numbers, but you know, if I'm somebody who's struggling with domestic violence or you know, even considering suicide, like the fact that they're so open to such displays would maybe potentially encourage me, you know, and maybe not everybody, it could encourage me to at least open up and talk to somebody like that. So I wonder if anything like that did occur, that's definitely a step in the right direction and does make an impact.
I think the feeling of camaraderie, sort of, or knowing that other people could be going through this can be very helpful,
right?
Because with things like anxiety or depression, or pretty much with the stigma of all mental illnesses, there's that feeling that you're totally alone. And knowing that there's other people that have experienced this and gotten through it can maybe inspire someone else. And I think if it's safe to just one person, it's worth it.
Definitely.
Yeah, so I think it's really important that they were here. And yeah, hopefully we'll see them in the future. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Highlander Newsroom, broadcasting on KUCR 88.3 FM, streaming online at KUCR.org, on the KUCR app from the App Store, or the TuneIn app on Android. All right, so next we're going to be talking about UC Berkeley, who wants to implement basically having all the applicants in the fall, starting this fall, they'll have to give a letter of recommendation with their application, which is not something that the UCs usually do. So what are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's a good thing or bad thing? More helpful for them? Or is it kind of just more annoying for the students now? What do you think?
Part of me is okay with it because, like, most of the time, like, sometimes you can apply when sometimes we apply to like many different colleges, and most of the time, like, you have to go through Common App, which has a letter of recommendation.
Oh my gosh.
We already, like, and since we're applying to so many colleges, it kind of seems like we already have, like, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but like, yeah.
I'm really glad they did this just in time for me to graduate.
I know, it's like too late for us.
Because I was a total teacher's pet, so maybe I could have offset.
Got a really good
two B's I got with a letter of rec. Honestly, I hope they can pull it off, and I hope they actually read the letters, because if you think about the sheer volume of paperwork the UCs have to go through, like, I think UCLA is the most applied to school in the country, if not the world. So I hope they can, if it gets implemented at other UCs, and I know Berkeley has a lot of applicants, it would be good to see. But I feel like it's a nice program because what do they really see? Like, you have, like, a very limited essay and all your curriculum vitae you've had from high school, which is typically limited. I think it can kind of personify who the applicant is. And maybe if they see you got some bad grades, well, you could explain, like, you know, I was doing outreach for, I don't know, injured veterans in my town, so I didn't pay, like, as much attention to school. It can kind of explain gaps in your, you know, high school background.
Right.
Honestly, this is, like, of no concern to me because I'm about to graduate.
I mean, I think for most of us, it's kind of like we're past that. But, I mean, I'm probably the least far removed from that experience, being that I'm the youngest one here. I'm probably the least far removed from the whole Common App process. And, I mean, letter of recommendations, I think you and I talked about it, Robert, how when we applied to schools like Laverne and private schools, it's the standard. Mm-hmm. And it personally didn't bother me. Honestly, it kind of encouraged me that maybe I have a better chance of getting in. And I think it does somewhat, lack of a better word, separate certain students from, you know, the rest of the pack, for lack of a better term. That's cliche, but it does, because you see more than what's simply on a grading paper or on a very colorful personal essay. Mm-hmm. Granted, these things will be colorful, but still, it gives a different perspective. And I personally see no issue with it whatsoever.
I think it's, you know, other schools do it, so the UCs getting on board is kind of like,
it'll be interesting to see if all the UCs get on board.
Yeah, do you guys think that will happen? Like, everyone will kind of follow suit?
I think they would just bring it to the UC level. You know how we submit our applications and just check which school we want? They might as well just have like a section for letter of recommendations. Just to send out to all campuses.
I remember when I was applying UCR, I didn't apply. They said, hey, if you want to know, you got in. So I made sure to check the UCR box when I applied. And now I'm on KUCR, so I guess you can figure out which school I went to. But I think Berkeley kind of is the UC-est of the UC schools. Certainly not the best, because it's not UCR. But I think they kind of are the trendsetters, and I think it's going to be something we start to see UCs and eventually Cal States, who are like the stepchildren of the California college system, no offense, starting to follow suit.
I think what it would probably dignify whether a school takes such a step is maybe based on the number of applicants, right? Because Berkeley, they have a high number of applicants, and I wouldn't be surprised if UCLA was next in that line, because they certainly, as you said, probably have one of the highest in the nation and possibly in the world. So it does help in that sense. Like, it's effective to separate certain students. Now, for UCR, I think our applications or our number of applicants are growing year by year, but I think maybe setting a standard in terms of, hey, you have to be at this number, does certainly would be something that would be somewhat effective in that sense.
And getting a letter of rec shows that you're not someone that blends in to the crowd.
Correct.
And I honestly think you don't just want someone that has good grades. You want someone that is going to get involved in
develops good relationships.
Life. Relationships. And so I think it's a good thing. And I think it's going to be a lot of work, but I would be surprised if it didn't get adopted within the next 1 or 2 years.
Right.
Yeah. I know one problem, well, specifically that our article in the paper kind of talked about, was how, like, students from public schools may not have the same opportunity as maybe students at private schools who have a closer relationship maybe with their students, the teachers specifically, to get, like, a really good letter of rec. And so they might just get, like, a generic, like, you know, Susie does great in math class, you know. But, what do you guys think about that? Do you think it's fair game for everyone?
It is, because I think it's based on the student, what type of relationship you develop with your teacher, whether you're at a intimately, you know, 15-student-sized classroom and at a private school, or you're at whatever 30, 32-student-sized classroom, as I was at my high school. I developed a really good relationship with my teacher because I felt like I should have, but because it was just something that helped me in class in general. And I think it's more so up to the student, no matter what school. Because I know a lot of kids who went to private schools and had literally no relationship with their teachers. And so I don't think it's necessarily on the school itself.
Yeah.
I mean, it does play a role because, there's more opportunity to get that relationship. But it's really are you the type of student to take that approach?
That's actually an interesting point, Crystal, that you brought up, because a kid that goes to a private school or like a charter school already has a benefit in the fact that they have a more personalized learning experience than someone at some run-down public school in like the inner city or in the boonies somewhere. This might actually widen the inequality gap, and I hope that the administration at Berkeley and future UCs is smart enough to take that into consideration.
Yeah, hopefully they are on board.
Is it already in action?
This fall, they're planning on starting it. But yeah, we'll see. All right, guys, so did you have any favorite articles in the paper? And if so, what were they this week?
I don't want to tout mine, but I did like mine about Kanye West. But I do like... I actually enjoyed reading yours, Robert, and I'm not just saying that because you're here. I did, because I'm not much of a gamer at all, actually, and your review of Undertale was quite interesting to read and possibly, maybe, got me considering the fact of buying it and actually being a gamer for less period of my life. I don't know, but it was really well written.
It's, you should definitely get it.
Yeah, I'm planning on getting it after reading it, too.
quite influential article, I would say.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't read the paper, but you're listening to this radio show, that's very odd. I'm harsh on everything, so the fact that I gave a game a positive review or anything a positive review is something.
And this
so,
is
yeah.
two in a row for you, right, in terms of positive reviews? Yeah. So it must be eating at you inside. No.
Yeah. I'm actually reviewing Paranormal Activity this week just to keep in touch with my dark side.
Yeah.
Because after Undertale, next week I'm reviewing Life is Strange, which I actually just finished today.
Ooh.
And I'm going to give you a spoiler-free review, and it was actually okay. It's not Undertale, but it wasn't bad. As far as my favorite article goes, the Highlander Journal, which is started by myself and Mr. Nathan Swift, our arts and entertainment editor, has its second edition this week. We have a short piece of flash fiction, a small story. We also have two very nice poems, so give it a look-see. And if you feel inspired to create art, please send your submissions to radar@highlandernews.org so we can continue to publish it. Because I really like that section, because it's bringing the campus together and adding a little more artsy side to our paper.
I think it's cool that you have faculty and students as well as the opportunity to write for that. I don't know, have you gotten any faculty to write so far? Or?
Actually, no, but we've actually have been getting more submissions, but I have been sending emails to the creative writing department, so hopefully someone from the faculty will send something in.
Yeah.
And maybe I can be like, I think it needs a little bit of work.
Yeah. Faculty, if you're listening, get in on this.
I know.
Yeah. Cameron, what about you? Any favorite article?
My favorite video.
Okay.
Actually, no, there's not that many videos this week. I didn't read the paper.
Okay, look, I'm not going to hold this against you. It's okay. But we have to read it when you go back home.
Okay.
Okay.
So we'll update everybody on what Cameron's favorite article was. Like,
yeah. All right.
Come on, man.
You were involved in the video of the Try Guys. Did you like any
of
that
how
video?
Was that?
Oh, yeah, because there is an article.
The Try Guys was a lot of fun. It was really interesting recording them while they were talking about media production. Because
very meta.
Yeah, it was really meta, and I felt like I was just really self-conscious of what I was doing while they were speaking about editing and, like, techniques. But, yeah, they're all really good people. They're all really personable. They talk a lot. But, yeah, they're really funny.
All right, cool. Yeah, I'd never actually heard of them before this. I mean, I heard BuzzFeed, and, like, I knew about that, but I didn't know, like, they were part of it. But apparently it was, like, super crowded and, like, a bunch of people can get in.
Yeah, a lot of people were rejected.
Yeah.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah, and when they got on stage, it was kind of like a boy band kind of situation.
Oh my gosh.
A lot of girls were screaming, and whenever they spoke, they, like, all these girls, like, screamed.
Wow.
It was incredibly busy. I did not expect that. I think I was in the office, and, like, I walked out, and I forgot they were even going to be there that day, and then I just saw lines just swarmed around I think, like, Subway, and, like, it was incredibly long.
Yeah.
Surprised me. I think I was at an astronomy lecture that day, so, yeah, just as fulfilling as the Try Guys.
Yeah. Okay, well, this has been the Highlander Newsroom on KUCR 88.3 FM. The Newsroom is a co-production of the Highlander Newspaper and KUCR. The opinions expressed on today's show belong solely to their owners and do not represent KUCR, the Highlander, or the Associated Students. Special thanks to Louis Vandenberg, Monica Taylor, Eddie Valencia, Elliot Fong, Tina Bold, and Alex Hill. All right, so I'm going to say, as my goodbye to study for your midterms, don't slack off, you know? Keep the momentum going.
Yeah, if you had any. I need to get on my study game as well. I guess that's a decent sign off. Like, I need to get on my study game. I really do. I have a couple midterms coming up.
I'd like to remind all students, shoot for the moon, because if you miss, you'll die horribly in space.
Watch the YouTube channel. Highlander TV.
Yeah.
Watch it.
All right. Thank you for listening.